Welcome to Trail Bites for the week of May 9th, 2019. I'm Gavin Jackson. This mini pod is a companion piece to the South Carolina Lead, and we're doing this to help keep you up to speed on what candidates are saying on the 2020 campaign trail in the Palmetto State, and also what South Carolinians like you are thinking. Over the past week, Democratic presidential candidates, former Vice President Joe Biden, and South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg visited the state for the first time since announcing their candidacies. This episode, however, will focus on Buttigieg, who reached out directly to the podcast and spoke with me for about 15 minutes after his North Charleston rally on May 5th, 2019. Just so you know, we will air Biden's bite next week, but when you reach out to the podcast, we'll give you some airtime here. So here's an edited version of that conversation, and we did my questions here in the studio just for the sake of sound quality.
Hi, it's Pete Buttigieg. How are you?
And full disclosure, I did record this conversation in my car over the speakers, Bluetooth. It's awesome. It's a little bit better sound quality than a speakerphone. However, there are some little bumps and hisses in this audio. You can hear them. I know AT's not crazy about it. I did turn down my air conditioning at one point, but I had this conversation in my car outside of the North Charleston High School, where Buttigieg had just wrapped up his rally with about 600 people, and he was on his way to a fundraiser in Charleston. It gets better. So, Mayor, I want to talk to you about education and what your plan would be to attract and retain more teachers to the profession.
The actions here in South Carolina, particularly the teachers rising up to insist on better, that's really something that had ripple effects across the country. And I think it's important for teachers to know that they're not alone, and to have a president who will show ways of supporting them, and also who will commit to having a leadership in the Department of Education that actually supports public education.
Did it surprise you to see that our governor and superintendent of education, both who are Republicans, were against teachers leaving the classroom last week? Do you think teachers should have left the classroom to protest?
You know, one thing that certainly has been demonstrated a couple of times in Indiana is it's not a great idea to be on the wrong side of teachers, because teachers play such an important role, and because parents and communities have a lot of trust for teachers, despite the fact that they're not getting the respect or the pay that they deserve from their governments. So, I'm a little bit surprised to see any governor being dismissive of teachers, and especially in a state like South Carolina that has a lot of work to do on educational attainment and needs to put up the resources to actually drive improvements there. I just think it's so important for any elected leader at any level to demonstrate their level of support, not just for teaching, but for public education as a whole. And you can't get something for nothing. The disinvestment is very directly connected to results being inadequate in many schools and many districts.
California Senator Kamala Harris's education proposal does focus on increasing teacher pay, but she also wants to create incentives for historically black colleges and universities to attract more black students to get involved in the teaching profession, especially black males who can be such a role model to students who might not have one. Do you think this is a good concept? Would you maybe try and do something similar?
Yeah, there's a lot of wisdom in that, because teachers play such an important moral and foundational role for people. So, to make sure that, especially when we're talking about young black boys, seeing leadership. Of course, you want them to have relationships with teachers of diverse backgrounds, but in particular, having more African-American male teachers could do a lot of good. I think that's one of only, it's only one of many reasons why we should be supporting HBCUs, and we'll be talking about that quite a bit. But again, as somebody who's run a pretty sizable organization that on the city side, any recruiting goals you have, including diversity recruiting goals, get a lot easier if you're just willing to put up the compensation and the resources to make the position attractive to more applicants.
The crowd was about 600 people tonight, and only about a handful of them were black, whereas North Charleston is a roughly 50% black population. The Democratic Party in South Carolina is also made up of about 60% black voters. Was it disconcerting for you to see the crowd make up tonight? And what do you have to do to get your message out to those key minority voters?
Yeah, it's very important to me, not only in order to win, but in order to deserve to win, that we are drawing a diverse base of support. And what we saw tonight, I think, is a lot of voters who are attracted to our message, who have found their way to us, we got to ask the question, okay, who are the people who will only hear from me if I find my way to them? And we're building and soon going to be announcing a campaign team that will help with that work. We're developing a campaign staff that reflects the diversity of our party, as well as my very diverse generation. But we also need to extend this, you know, beyond the individuals in paid positions on our campaign to the volunteers and supporters and voters who you see as we go. So, you know, it shows that we've got a lot of work to do. I welcome the challenge. I understand the challenge as somebody who is neither a candidate of color nor somebody who has been known for decades, that I have to go an extra mile in order to make sure that the Black voters and other diverse voters in this state know what our message is to them and know how important it is for us that they be included in the campaign.
Switching gears to the Democratic primary field, former Vice President Joe Biden has jumped into the race. How does his presence affect it right now?
You know, I think the more candidates are in the race, the more it makes sense for each of us to just run our own game plan. I don't view myself as competing against any one or even any three or five other Democrats. There are so many different voices. We've been able to cut through the field and cut through some of the clutter with our unique voice and message. And that's the game plan we're going to continue building out as we go.
At a fundraiser held in Columbia after his rally, it's reported that Biden said his nickname for Trump is Clown. Do you think he should be using nicknames in the race? Do you agree with that characterization?
Obviously, I have a pretty dim view of this presidency, but I'd also say that the less we're talking about him, the better, because voters want to hear us talking about them. And the biggest reason why this presidency needs to go is actually not the many deficiencies of the president. It's the damage being done to Americans in our everyday lives. The failure to raise wages, the assault on our health care, the divisions that are being placed between us and other fellow Americans, even when we have common interests. And for all of those reasons and more, we've got to help people envision the world as it's going to be when this president comes and goes. Just jumping into to playing his game will not be enough.
So when the president starts attacking you directly, how do you think you'll handle that?
I'm pretty well practiced in dealing with bullies. I'm not going to be distracted from a message that, you know, we'll certainly confront him when he does something wrong or says something false. But at the end of the day, this campaign isn't about him. It's about the voters whose lives in many ways depend on the decisions that will be made by the next president.
Do you think it's a sad state of affairs when people are still attacking people over gender, sex, sexual identity, things like that? Is it becoming more prevalent, you think, because of President Trump?
Well, there's no question that we're living in a time when a lot of different forms of exclusion and hate are on the rise. And to me, that's just one more reason why we all need to be standing up for each other, even if each of us has a different experience. So many vulnerable and marginalized communities are worse off under this White House. That we all have to mobilize together, no matter how different our stories are, in order to bring about a change.
Now, there's a minimum age to run for president. Do you think there should be a maximum age?
I'm not going to speak to anybody else's readiness or fitness to the job, at least not within my party. Mm-hmm. I think there are a lot of great candidates with different strengths and virtues, and we're going to compete based on our own.
Where do you see the country in 2019, and how do you unite it?
Yeah, I'm very worried about the divisions that have come among Americans, largely stoked by the current White House and president. And part of this can be addressed through our politics, even the conduct of our campaigns. Part of it needs to be addressed through policy. It's one of the reasons why I think things like national service are a good idea that could help us to form more connections among very different kinds of Americans, as was my experience in the military, and I think I think about the kind of trust that I learned to develop with other people when I was deployed. But I also think you shouldn't have to go to war to have that experience, and I think more service year opportunities for Americans could help deliver that. I'm getting a high sign from my colleagues that we gotta wrap it up. Any last thoughts?
Gotcha. I just wanted to see if you've spoken with Congressman Jim Clyburn recently, and if so, what have you guys talked about?
Yes, we've been in touch with him. He's been helpful in directing us to resources and also just explaining some of the issues from education to income that are on people's minds in this state, and obviously a leader that I have enormous respect for.
Great. Thank you, Mayor.
All right. Thanks a lot. Take care.
And again, this isn't an endorsement. We don't make any endorsements on this show. This is just us giving you a full interview of someone from a campaign that reached out to us that said, hey, would you like 15 minutes to talk to our candidate? And we said, well, of course we would. We would talk to anyone's candidate for 15 minutes. So other campaigns, maybe take note here about how you can do that. Because we are, like we always say, an early voting state. We want to get you as much information as possible about these candidates so you can make an educated, informed decision. And now we got some good reaction for you. After the rally I cut with Dawn Pemberton, who brought her two daughters to see Buttigieg, and he even took her question about how he would defeat President Trump.
I thought he did a great job. In his typical style, he was very diplomatic, very, very sensible, and very kind. I would have probably said something a little more rough if I were him, but I respect the way he answered the question, and I think his plan is solid. I am not into the name calling, and with Joe, that's actually my main concern. I am not really interested in watching two 70-year-old men sling mud at each other or mash potatoes over the Thanksgiving dinner table. It's not something I want to see. I don't think it sends a very good message to the rest of the world that that's the way we behave. So while I wish he would have been a little more forceful, I really respect his answer.
Barbara Hill is a black veteran from West Ashley who says healthcare and veterans' needs are big issues for her. She was with the Sanders campaign in 2016, but says Buttigieg represents the new blood that is needed. I asked her if it worried her to see so few black Democrats in the crowd.
It does worry me when I do go to events like this and I do not see the more representative of African Americans that come out. You know, it was great having that big crowd for Kamala when she was here, but I would like to see the same enthusiasm for other candidates as well for the party. You know, make your decisions, but don't make them on just the face of the candidate. Think about their ideas, each of their ideas.
Buttigieg also held a meet and greet in Orangeburg on Monday, along with a private town hall event in North Columbia that evening. Looking ahead, we'll have Biden's trail bite next week, so do stay tuned, y'all. Also, New Jersey Senator Cory Booker is in town on Saturday to open a campaign office in Orangeburg. More information can be found on CoryBooker.com. Follow me on Twitter at GavinJackson for candidate updates. Watch the full remarks from Buttigieg and Biden, as well as other candidates who have visited the state, on South Carolina ETV's YouTube page under the SC 2020 playlist. And just a reminder, Campaign Trail Bites is not biased towards any candidate or campaign. We're just covering these candidates as they come through and as we can get to them. We're out there trying to get as much information for you so you can make your own decision in 2020. We'll bring you a mini pod every time there's campaign trail activity in the state. Let us know your thoughts on Twitter at @SCLEDEPOD and follow us with the same handle on Instagram for photos from the campaign trail, the studio, and our dank memes. Campaign Trail Bites is a production of the South Carolina Lead. I'm Gavin Jackson.